Be opening your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm going to be reading here in a moment out of the NIV. We have that in the songbook rack in front of you. It's page 570 in our Bibles, if you would like to follow along with me here in just a few moments. We are in the early part of a series of lessons from these books of prophecy. And we're ready this morning for Jeremiah. While you're making your way to chapter 7 of that book, let me just tell you a little bit about the author of this book, Jeremiah. He prophesied about 100 years after Isaiah, who we talked about last week. And like Isaiah, he prophesied to the people of the southern kingdom, especially the city of Jerusalem. And he prophesied to that city for 40 years. For four decades, Jeremiah served as a prophet in the land of Judah. And his primary message, like so often as we read in the prophets, not always, every once in a while a prophet was given a different message to relay to the people. But more often than not, the prophets were given a message of judgment, one that was calling the people to repent and return to their God. Jeremiah is in that line of the prophets who talked about a coming judgment. A good example of that is in the passage that I asked you to turn to as we're going to begin this morning, Jeremiah chapter 7. Now, as we've done last week, I'll make this offer again this morning. If you just want to listen as I read this, that's fine. If you want to follow along with me, you're welcome to do that as well. But I want you to get a taste of what Jeremiah and what his message is primarily about, what God is trying to do through him to the people of Judah, specifically the people in Jerusalem. This is not an easy message for them to hear. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, "This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and lie, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, "We are safe"? Safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? I've been watching, declares the Lord. It's not an easy message for these people to hear. Go now to the place in Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, but you did not listen. I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to the house that bears my name, the temple you trust in, the place I gave to you and your ancestors. I will thrust you from my presence, just as I did all your fellow Israelites. So he tells Jeremiah, don't pray for this people. Don't offer a plea or a petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes to offer to the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to arouse my anger. But am I the one they are provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field, and on the crops of your land, and it will burn and not be quenched. There is a reason why many people did not like the prophets. And that reason is the same reason that many of us operate under, and that is we don't like it when someone tells us that what we're doing is wrong. You see, it's not just this group of people in our church, the young ones, the teenagers, who don't like to be told what you're doing is not right. It's this group sitting over here. You don't like it any more than they do. And it's this group sitting right over here. You don't like it any more than them, nor them. Very few of us like to be told when we're wrong. We'd rather be told, it's okay. You're good. But the prophets couldn't do that because that's not what God told them to say. God wanted His people to come back to Him. And so He sent the prophets and gave them a message. It was severe. It was stern. But it was with good intentions. The intention was to wake people up, to remind people that you can't just come into a holy place and say we're safe because we're in a holy place when you've been living out there in a way that is offensive to God. And so Jeremiah has this message. And the people didn't like to hear it. Jeremiah, for 40 years, was in danger of his life. People persecuted him. People didn't like what he said. It was hard. Once, he even tried to stop telling people the message that God had given him. In one of the most powerful passages from Jeremiah, Chapter 20, verse 7 and 9, he says, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So even when he tried not to speak the words that God had given him, he could not speak the words of God. They became like a fire in his belly, a fire in his bones, and he had to open his mouth and he had to say the message that God had given him. There are a lot of powerful passages that are found in the book of Jeremiah. It's an interesting read. It's not chronologically in order, which sometimes makes it a little difficult to figure out how to place everything, but it's an interesting read and one that would be worth your time. This is the book where, you probably remember this, where God is the potter and we are his clay. Remember that image that we sometimes talk about and sing about? That comes out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah talks about how God is the potter and we are the clay in his hands, and how he is molding and shaping us in his way, not our way. So a lot of powerful images in this book, but one that I want us to zero in on today is in chapter 36. So if you've got your Bibles open and you want to do this, flip over now to chapter 36. Unless you've read the book of Jeremiah recently, this is probably going to be a story that you're not all that familiar with. But I think it's a powerful story, especially when we compare this story in chapter 36 of Jeremiah, which is a story about King Jehoiakim and how he responds to the Word of God. When we compare this story with that of another king named Josiah and how he responded to the Word of God, we get a very interesting contrast about the different ways that people respond to the Word of God. And after we've looked at both of these examples, I'm going to make a quick point of application, and the lesson will then be yours. Chapter 36. I'm just going to read down through this chapter because it pretty much speaks for itself. So if you want to follow with me, you're welcome to do that. If I stumble over a name or two, please don't laugh at me, because I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce every one of these names right. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I want you to take a scroll, God says to Jeremiah, and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. So God is instructing Jeremiah, you've had a long prophecy. It spanned 40 years, four decades. What I want you to do, Jeremiah, is I want you to write down everything I have been telling you for the last four decades, ever since King Josiah was on the throne. I want you to write it all down. Perhaps now, he says, when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will each turn from their wicked ways, and I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. So God's hope is that not only through Jeremiah's proclaimed words, but now also through his written word, that people might turn back to God and be saved. So verse 4, Jeremiah calls upon a man with the name of Baruch. And while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them down on the scroll. So God is giving Jeremiah this message. Jeremiah is dictating it to Baruch, and Baruch is writing it down. He's the one who's actually writing the words on the scroll. After this is completed, verse 5, Jeremiah told Baruch, I can't go to the Lord's temple. Jeremiah had been banned from the temple. People didn't want to hear him anymore, so he couldn't go to the temple. I can't go to the temple, so you go to the house of the Lord and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord, and each will turn from their wicked ways, for the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. So God gives Jeremiah this message. Jeremiah dictates it to Baruch. Baruch writes it down, and now Jeremiah says, I want you to go to the temple and read this to the people in the hopes that upon hearing it, Their hearts will be softened and they'll turn back to me, and I won't have to do this terrible thing that I'm planning to do. Verse 8, Baruch did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do. At the Lord's temple, he read the words of the Lord from the scroll. In the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, a time of fasting before the Lord was proclaimed for all the people in Jerusalem and all those who had come from the towns of Judah. So there's a lot of people gathered in Jerusalem. There are many people at the temple. The audience is set. It's a prime time. A lot of people are gathered. Now's the time for the word of God to be read. Verse 10, from the room of Gemirah, son of Shaphan the secretary, which was in the upper courtyard at the entrance of the new gate of the temple, Baruch read to all the people at the Lord's temple the words of Jeremiah from the scroll. So here's Baruch reading the word of God, the words that had been delivered to Jeremiah that have now been written down. He's reading them. But apparently most people are too busy or too occupied, they're not paying any attention to what Baruch is doing. But there's one man, Micah, who hears the words Baruch is reading, and he realizes he's hearing something important. He gets it. And so he immediately goes to some of the royal officials and he says, you guys need to hear what Baruch is reading. And so they send for Baruch. They say, come and read to us the words of the scroll, verse 15. Sit down, please, and read it to us. So Baruch read it to them. When they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear. And they said to Baruch, we must report this to the king. And then they asked him, tell us, how did you come to write all this? Did Jeremiah dictate it? Probably sounded vaguely familiar. Because this is what Jeremiah's been preaching for nearly 40 years, only now it's been written down. And so they suspect this is from Jeremiah. Verse 18, yes, he dictated all these words to me, and I wrote them in ink on the scroll. The official said to Baruch, okay, you and Jeremiah go hide, and don't let anyone know where you are. They've kind of got a hunch the king isn't going to like what Jeremiah has dictated to Baruch. And so they say, you guys go hide. After they put the scroll in the room of Elishama, verse 20, they went to the king in the courtyard and reported everything to him. The king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and Jehudi brought it from the room of Elishama the secretary and read it to the king and all the officials standing beside him. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. Apparently it's wintertime. And he's in his winter quarters. And he's in a chair next to a fire, warming his feet. Verse 23, whenever Jehudi read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and all of his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes, which would have been a sign of repentance to what they were hearing. They ignored it. The king then urged several men to go arrest Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord had hidden them. Verse 27, after the king burned the scroll containing the words that Baruch had written, at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came again to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. And tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is what the Lord says. You burned that scroll and said, why did you write on it that the king of Babylon would certainly come and destroy this land and wipe from it both man and beast? Therefore, this is what the Lord says to you, Jehoiakim, king of Judah. You will have no one to sit on the throne of David. Your body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat by day and the frost by night. I will punish you and your children and your attendants for their wickedness. I will bring on you and those living in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I pronounced against them because you have not listened. So Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to the scribe Baruch. And as Jeremiah dictated, Baruch wrote. And he wrote on it all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And many similar words were added to them. And folks, we're reading from that scroll today. The second scroll that Jeremiah dictated to Baruch is the scroll that we're reading from today that's called Jeremiah. Now, as I read that story, there are many powerful stories in the book of Jeremiah. I can't help but think in my mind, what on earth was this king, the spiritual point man of an entire nation, the one who was supposed to be leading his people in the direction of God, the one who is supposed to be helping his people obey God and do the will of God. Here is this king whose heart is so steeped in sin, whose conscience is so seared that he actually thinks he can nullify the word of God by cutting it into pieces and burning it in the fire. Here is a man who, when he hears the word of God, when he hears the word of the Lord, he doesn't respond with repentance. He responds with defiance, sitting in his rocker near the fire, warming his feet. Get this image in your mind. Hearing the word of God read, he takes out a knife and he begins to cut each part of that scroll into tiny little pieces, and then he throws them into the fire. What on earth was he thinking? Did he really think he could nullify the Word of God by ignoring it? Or by cutting it up into little pieces and burning it in the fire? If he did, obviously, he was sadly mistaken. Now, that's one response. Another response, interestingly enough, from his father, who many years before also heard a word from the Lord. This one we will not look at extensively, but in 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah is on the throne, and it's a dark time in the land. There's no worship. There's no temple even to go to. The temple is closed. The doors are barred. Nobody can get into the temple. No sacrifices can be offered. There's darkness, spiritual darkness in the land. It's a low point in the land, in the history of God's people. And somehow, someone in Josiah's court finds a copy of the book of the law. And he brings it to Josiah. And he says, Josiah, what is this? And they begin to read it. And Josiah immediately recognizes it for what it is. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 11. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes, a sign of repentance. And then he said, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. So that's what a king's supposed to do. It's not just about me. It's about all my people. Go find out from the Lord on behalf of all of us what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They've not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. After hearing the word of the Lord, King Josiah repented and instituted sweeping reforms throughout all the land. He opened up the temple and he cleaned it out. It had become basically a storage room. There were no offerings being offered there. There were no sacrifices being offered there. It was just a storage room. He cleaned it out. He restored worship. He restored the offering of sacrifices. He renewed the covenant that the people had with God. And by the end of his reign as king, this is what was said about Josiah. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength. Now that's the way we need to respond to the Word of God. So here you've got these two kings, these two spiritual point men for an entire kingdom of people. They both hear a message from the Word of God, but you could not have two more different responses than what you see. When King Josiah hears the word of the Lord, he is immediately convicted, broken. He embraces that word. He internalizes that word. He begins to institute reform, not only in his own heart, but all throughout the land. And as a result, the lives of many people, the hearts of many people are turned to their Lord. King Jehoiakim, on the other hand, hears the word of the Lord. He's not convicted. He doesn't repent. He doesn't turn to God. He leads not only himself and his family, but the nation of God's people even deeper into their rebellion and idolatry. Two very different responses to the word of God. Now, here's a question that in my mind needs to be asked. And that question is, which king and which response do we have more in common with today? Now, in response to that question, you might say, well, Charlie, I'm offended. I would never dream of tearing pages out of the Word of God and burning them. Fair enough. I doubt that anybody in here this morning would do that. I don't see any of you going home and tearing pages out of the Bible and throwing them into the trash can or burning them in your fire pit. But while we might not do that, do we listen to the Word of God? When it's preached, when it's read, do we listen? Do we really hear with our ears what God is saying? Do we drink it in? Do we internalize it? Do we digest it? Do we then seek to live it out with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or is our response to the proclaimed or read Word of God, I've heard that before. Nah, not all that interested. See, I doubt any of us would take a page out of the Bible and burn it in a show of defiance and disrespect to God. But when this word, either proclaimed or read, remains closed, when we don't open this and open our ears to this message from God, this wisdom from God about how He wants us to live, what He wants to do in us, how He wants to work through us, can we really say we're any better off than King Jehoiakim? When we go to whoever the popular celebrity is out there for guidance. Oprah's not on anymore, but at one time, maybe it was her. Maybe now it's Dr. Phil. I don't know. Delilah, is she still on the radio? I don't know. John Tesh, when you need an answer for a problem in your marriage, in your kids, in your work, where do you go for an answer to that problem, a solution to that difficulty? Do we listen to the Word of God? Or do we listen to some other source? Yeah, we wouldn't dream, most of us wouldn't dream of tearing any pages out of that book and burning them. But are we really doing anything with it? Are we really letting that influence the way we think, how we live, how we treat people, the values that we live by? Are those more shaped by this world or by the Word of God? Would to God that more of us had a heart like Josiah. That when we hear the Word of God proclaimed, when we read the Word of God and see it with our own eyes and hear it with our own ears and feel it in our own heart, that we would respond as Josiah did, with an open heart. Lord, what do I need to do? Change me. Make me better. Would that more of us had a heart like Jeremiah. The word that's in us is like a burning fire that cannot be contained or quenched. Hundreds of years after Jeremiah prophesied, Jesus would come along. The living word. The word of God revealed in flesh and blood. And he lived out the Word of God for people to see and called people to come to Him and put their faith in Him and trust Him and let Him do a work in their life. And even He once told a story about four kinds of soil and a farmer who went out to sow seed and how that seed fell sometimes on hard soil and it wouldn't produce a crop. And sometimes that seed fell on soil that had rocks in it and it was shallow and it didn't have any root, and some of that seed fell into thorny ground with thorns in it and it grew up and the thorns choked it, but some of that seed fell on good soil and it produced a crop. And the disciples looked at him and said, "We don't understand what you're saying. You're talking in riddles. What does that mean?" And Jesus says, "The sower, the farmer, is the one who's sowing the Word of God." And that Word, when it's proclaimed, when it's put out there, oftentimes comes in contact with different kinds of hearts. And some are hard. And they don't listen. And they reject it. And some hearts are shallow. They accept it at first, but when it gets hard, when things aren't easy, they ditch it and turn to something else. And some hearts are divided and conflicted. They've got a lot of stuff going on and they're really interested in other things. And the Word just gets choked out. And no fruit is ever really born. But some hearts, he said, are good. And those hearts are open and receptive to the Word. And it gets in there and it produces a crop. Which is yours? What kind of heart do we have when it comes to the Word of God? Hard, shallow, convicted, conflicted, or open to what God wants to do in our lives? Would that we all had a heart like Josiah, that hears the Word and whatever that Spirit prompts and convicts us to do, we do it. whether it's to respond to faith in Christ and turn to Him in repentance, follow Him in His own example of being immersed, that we might begin a new life with Him, one controlled by the Spirit, not by the flesh, or whatever it may prompt us to do, whether it's to speak to a neighbor or to offer someone some assistance at work or whatever it may be, that our hearts would be open and receptive to that message. What is the Spirit prompting in you this morning? What would He have you do? Where would He take you if you were to give Him control of your life? Do we have ears to hear and eyes to see? Offer a blessing to somebody sitting next to you. You're a priest, every bit as I am. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.